one soul ring.
Ooh, perfect.
Still got it. That's right better.
All right, everybody. Well, welcome to Turn One Soul Ring. Welcome, one and all. I'm Kevin.
Hey, I'm Eric.
And I'm Riley.
And today on the show, we are starting our Innistrad Midnight Hunt set review.
Back in Innistrad!
That's right. Third time's a charm. Okay.
Woo!
yeah, Ainsley, if you could isolate those woos and put them at the beginning of the episode, that would be a lot of fun, I think. Anyway, if you're familiar with our set reviews, then you know that they're not exhaustive. We cover the cards we're interested in playing with in the formats that we play, which are most of them at this point. As usual, we are going to go through the cards in Wooburg order, wrapping things up with gold, colorless, and land cards. And before we get to our first white card, Eric is going to tell you all how you can get in touch with us.
Tell
them, Eric.
People can definitely find us over on Instagram at TurnOneSoulRingThePodcast. We have an email address, TurnOneSoulRingThePodcast@gmail.com. You can contact us directly that way. Everything's on YouTube. Best way to find us over there is just searching up TurnOneSoulRingThePodcast. And we have a Patreon page. If you're like what we're doing over here, definitely check out our Patreon page. It's patreon.com/TurnOneSoulRing. We've got a lot of cool names for our tiers over there. That's a lot of fun, so check us out.
And without any further ado, our first white card is Adeline Resplendent Cathar. It's one white-white for a star for Legendary Human Knight with Vigilance, and its power is equal to the number of creatures you control. And whenever you attack, for each opponent, create a 1/1 white human creature token. It's tapped and attacking. That's tapped and attacking. That player or planeswalker they control.
This is like toned down. There's that enchantment that gives things, or not enchantment, artifact equipment.
Helm of the Host.
No.
But that would be good with this.
But it's like, yeah, it creates a token for every single opponent you have.
Oh.
And then they all attack that, like, one player. So it's like the more...
Oh, the sword with Myriad.
Myriad, yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Blade of Selves?
So this is like a toned down, like, Myriad, because it's only 1/1s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of like... It's like a Brimaz that scales mm-hmm. with the game.
Yeah. Right?
So, and I mean... herself, like, she scales pretty well, like, her power increases exponentially, and notably you don't have to attack with her, you could just attack with anything.
Nice. Yeah, it just says when you attack,
so nice, especially if you have some like sacrifice synergies or ways to like utilize those tokens, because they're inevitably going to get blocked in combat or maybe even chip in. But I think if you have a way of using those as a resource, that would be pretty fun.
Yeah, like in a standard game, creating 3 tokens a turn is pretty good.
So next up, we have our first transform card. It's Ambitious Farmhand is the front side. It's 1/1 for a 1/1 human peasant. And whenever it enters the battlefield, you may search your library for a basic planes card, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle. And it has Coven, which is you can pay 1 white-white to transform Ambitious Farmhand, and you can only activate if you control 3 or more creatures with different powers, which is... kind of a sub theme of this set is the different creatures with having creatures with different powers. And then the backside is Seasoned Cathar. It's a 3/3 human knight with lifelink.
Yeah, I think Coven is kind of a pretty interesting new mechanic to have. Just having to like we had Party pretty recently, which was different creature types, and now we just have creatures with different powers, which I think is a lot easier to activate than Party for sure.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, and yeah. Limited.
Yeah, I mean, across the board, too. Like, it just seems like, naturally, even if you curve out, like, more often than not, if you have any semblance of a board, you're likely going to have 3 different powers among that board. I like Ambitious Farmhand in the sense that, like, it replaces itself with a plane. So, Kevin, I know you're a fan of Birth of Miletus, or at least in Brawl. And this is kind of like a Birth of Miletus effect, you know? Like, you're not getting the 0/4 artifact defender, but on the flip side, you know, later in the game, when you've got the mana, you can flip it, start gaining some life. Yeah, it just seems like a nice little bonus to get that plate to kind of replace itself, and then maybe use this as, like, sacrifice fodder or blink effect. It just seems like these rates or these cards that search out basic lands on a body usually come at like 3 mana. So even though it's limited to planes, I still think it's pretty good value for 2 mana.
Yeah.
And at least you don't need an opponent that has more lands than you.
That is nice.
Yeah, exactly, nice. Right? Yeah, because there is a cat that's like a 2/2 that does this effect, but it counts how many opponents have more lands than you, and you get that many planes. But like, I mean, if you take the play, like you're not getting anything, right?
Yeah, for sure. Next up, we have Bereaved Survivor on the front side. It's another transform card. We're gonna have a lot of these. It's 2 and a white for a 2/1 human peasant. And when another creature you control dies, transform Bereaved Survivor, transforms into Dauntless Avenger, which is a 3/2 human soldier. And when it attacks, return target creature card with mana value 2 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield, tapped and attacking.
This is pretty sweet at the like common or uncommon slot, I think. Like, your creature's going to die, and then you're basically going to get it back, most likely.
Yeah, that's the idea, I think.
Yeah.
that's the goal.
That's how the card was built.
Which format are you excited for this in,
Eric? I think Constructed, it'll be pretty, like, you can definitely do some fun things with this, and then obviously in Limited you're just getting way more value back. I don't know if I played in Commander.
Yeah,
it's just, there's just better stuff.
I don't know if I Yeah, three mana is a steep cost to pay for a 2/1 that flips to a 3/2.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you might get one attack before this is blocked and killed.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, standard and definitely limited.
Next up, we have Borrowed Time. It's 2 and a white for an enchantment, and when it enters the battlefield, exile target non-land permanent and opponent controls until Borrowed Time leaves the battlefield. And we have a little Teferi action on the art.
Teferi stepped calmly into the fray. Suddenly the sun paused in the sky, and the werewolves' snarls froze on their faces.
Do planeswalkers keep aging? Because, I mean, I know Teferi has the whole, like, slow time water thing, but he hasn't had that in a while. Like, are they ageless? I don't know. I should know this.
Well, Jaya aged.
Yeah, that's right? True.
When did she become a planeswalker?
I don't really know a lot about her story.
Was it when she was old?
I don't know. We'd have to look that up. That could be an episode, but
yeah, I wonder if just like how like Teferi was affected. He's just like always aging slow.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it drops off after you haven't had the water for a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he can control time. I feel like he's figured out a way to like maintain his age.
Yeah, he is the master of time.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, Borrowed Time is reminds me a lot of it was just in Banishing Standard. Light? Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, it's always good to have one of these in Standard, so nice to see this.
Next up, we have another transform card. Front side is Brutal Cathar. For 2 and a white, you get a 2/2 human soldier werewolf, and when it enters the battlefield or transforms into Brutal Cathar, exile target creature and opponent controls until this creature leaves the battlefield. And this is also our first card with Daybound. So the front side is Daybound, and the backside is Nightbound. And Daybound, if a player casts no spells during their own turn, it becomes night next turn. So the flip side is Moonrage Brute. It's a 3/3 werewolf with first strike and ward, pay 3 life. And of course it has Nightbound, so if a player casts at least 2 spells during their own turn, it becomes day next turn. And I really like this spin on the transform mechanic that, you know, we've had in the past 2 Innistrad sets, because it flips the whole board is affected by it, the Daybound and Nightbound thing, so it's kind of fun.
Yeah, I thought we should kind of explain that, because it's a little bit different than how transform cards have worked in the past. Basically, basically if it's actually like nighttime already and you play one of these cards that have like Daybound, Nightbound on it, your card will come in on the Nightbound side,
right?
Which is really interesting. So it's like your transform cards couldn't do that before in the other Innistrad. You still had to go by the don't cast any spells kind of thing. So I think that makes this really interesting.
Yeah,
how you can have your cards come in on the flip side.
Yeah, I think in most cases where you're playing with things that care about day and night, the mechanic as a whole is a pretty cool take on transform. I think the challenge is or at least my experience has been, like, I played in a pre-release, and what I found is, like, if there's nothing on the field that cares about day or night, like, you still have to keep track of day and night. And that becomes a little bit like, okay, I'm just flipping between day and night just because.
Yeah. Right.
So the play experience in paper is a little bit weird if there's nothing on the battlefield that actually cares about day and night. But I don't know. Some pros and cons.
For sure. Yeah, it's not the same thing, but it sort of reminds me of the City's Blessing from the Ikoria block, where if you got the City's Blessing but didn't have any cards that cared about it, it was like, well, I've got the City's Blessing, so I'll use the token, I guess.
Yeah, like, I mean, you would in that case, you would have to have something that had Ascend on it,
right,
to like trigger City's Blessing. But once you had it, you always had it.
You know what?
Like,
even when if you I went get below to 10, 10, I'm just going to take City's Blessing. I don't care if I have a card that cares about it.
His house rule. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll work that into the league. First player to get City's Blessing gets a point for that round.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, we have Cathar Commando. It's 1 and a white for a 3/1 human soldier with flash, and it has an activated ability. You can pay 1 generic mana to sacrifice it and destroy target artifact or enchantment.
Hell yeah.
Fun little common.
This is really nice for, like, tempo play, for sure.
Well, it's really great. Like, first of all, it's a 3-1 flash, so you can, like, ambush Viper somebody's creature that's attacking you if it came down to it. But it's also... Okay, so it's the same overall cost, like, if you were to destroy an artifact or enchantment, as, like, a Reclamation Sage, which... is a bit of a commander staple. Obviously, the benefit of a Reclamation Sage is that you can, like, bounce it or flicker it and get that effect again. But on the flip side, this has, like, some sacrifice synergies. So if you care about sacrifice, or if you care about humans or creatures dying, like, this has some synergy in that space, a little bit different than Blink. But it's really nice that white gets access to this destroy artifact or enchantment on a creature, because traditionally it's been, like, when it enters the battlefield, exile this until this thing leaves the battlefield, right?
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
So this is a little bit more of like a Caustic Caterpillar or Thrashing Brontodon kind of effect, where, yeah, sure, it's being sacrificed, but there's probably benefits you can get out of that sacrifice.
And if someone has a Torpor Orb, you still get your removal.
That's right.
Yeah, blow up that Torpor Orb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
get rid of it so we can all have fun.
Yeah, come on, what are you doing?
Next up, we have Fateful Absence. It's 1 and a white for an instant. Destroy target creature or planeswalker. Its controller investigates. So they create a clue token. What a cool card!
Yeah, like best white removal spell in ages.
Yeah, great. Enjoy your clue token. I just destroyed your best permanent.
Yeah. Your best planeswalker. Yeah. Like, right?
Yeah.
Like,
get out of here.
This card would be insane if it was 1 and a white, destroy target creature, and they investigate.
Yeah.
But just the fact that Planeswalker text is tacked on there, like, what the hell? This card is so great.
Yeah, I love it. This is great removal, yeah.
Love it, love it, love it.
Also has some really good flavor text as well. What's going on with the photo here?
Sensing a plot, Sorin raced to his grandfather's resting crypt, but someone else had gotten there first. Was it the boogeyman?
Who was it? I don't know. He's got to investigate.
But, oh, okay. But it's I think the big thing is that it's Sorin's grandfather, so I think we'll be seeing
Edgar.
Yeah.
Edgar. Thank you. Yeah, Edgar Margov.
Okay. Cool. Next up, we have Intrepid Adversary. It's 1 and a white for a 3/1 human scout with lifelink, and when it enters the battlefield, you may pay 1 and a white any number of times. When you pay this cost 1 or more times, put that many valor counters on Intrepid Adversary. Creatures you control get +1/+1 for each valor counter on Intrepid Adversary.
This card's pretty nuts in a, like, white weenie kind of style deck, because early on you're getting a 3/1 with lifelink for 2 mana, but then if you draw this late game, you can kind of pump mana into it, and then it pumps up all of your other creatures.
Yeah. It curves really nicely with itself, right? Like, you just have, like, in standard or historic or whatever, having an anthem on a body is pretty huge, right? Like, if you're top decking after having, like, your board swept and you draw an anthem, like, it feels bad. But having the ability to, like, pump a bunch of mana into a relevant creature that also gives you an anthem, a scalable anthem, like, that's big game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it does affect itself as well. So it's like, you know, six mana, this is now a 5/4.
Yeah, Eric, would you try this in your Jarena deck?
Probably.
Because that, that,
I think this would go well in Jarena.
She cares about humans, right?
Yeah, and this is a human.
Yeah.
And then it just pumps everything, and everything's already getting pumped already.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it scales nicely, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a great little two-mana wiener. A white wiener. Okay. We have Lunark Veteran next, another transform card. It's 1W for a 1/1 human cleric, and whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, you gain 1 life. And it has Disturb for 1W. So you may cast this card from your graveyard transformed for its Disturb cost. And the flip side is Luminous Phantom. It's a 1/1 spirit cleric with flying. Whenever another creature you control leaves the battlefield, you gain 1 life. If Luminous Phantom would be put into a graveyard from anywhere, exile it instead.
I'm a huge fan of Flashback and how they made this Disturb mechanic work. I'm liking it.
Yeah, Disturb is fantastic.
It's very cool. And yeah, it almost feels like a little bit of card advantage.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, I mean, in a Soul Sisters deck, this is a slam dunk, right? Just another Soul Sister at 1 mana.
Yep.
So, obviously, not like a true Soul Sister that counts every creature, but still, like, you take what you can get.
For sure.
And then if you're doing some sort of Aristocrats thing, like, the flip side will also net you some sort of benefit as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Sigarda's Splendor is next. It's 2W for an enchantment, and as it enters the battlefield, note your life total. Take note. At the beginning of your upkeep, draw a card if your life total is greater than or equal to the last noted life total for Sigarda's Splendor. Then note your life total once again. Whenever you cast a white spell, you gain 1 life. Note that as well.
gotta love noting things. What a great card.
It's just a funny way that it's written funny. That's all. But yes,
yeah,
totally. It is very cool.
Well,
like, it's definitely a little bit annoying to, like, keep track of, but it is some sort of, like, interesting card advantage for white.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like a 4-mana Phyrexian Arena that, like, gains you incidental life and, like, might draw you a card.
You have to cast a spell to draw a card.
I remember seeing a chart, I think it was somebody posted on Twitter, it was like all the different colors and how they draw cards, and it's like blue, draw a card, green, you know, play a creature, draw a card, red,
discard, like, draw impulse card.
Yeah, discard, draw a card, and then, like, black is like pay life, draw a card, and then white is like this wall of text of all these all these things you have to do to draw a card.
Case in point. So,
yeah, I mean, I think this is a card that you would probably want to consider if you cared about that incidental life gain, but otherwise, I feel like it's probably a little too unreliable to, like, really want for that card draw effect. Because 4 mana for maybe drawing a card on your upkeep is really bad.
Sigardian Savior is next. It's 3W for a 3/3 angel with flying, and when it enters the battlefield, if you cast it, return up to 2 target creature cards with mana value 2 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. A little bit of Revelark vibes, but not as good.
You cannot
it's a fixed Revelark.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a value Revelark. It's not a combo Revelark.
Yeah. Which is still good. Like, this is still a good card. You're getting a lot back from the graveyard. Yeah. Yeah, like, it is good stuff, obviously. But they're trying to fix some of their... It's like they're going to reprint this card over Revelark.
Yeah, definitely. Certainly into standard.
Yeah, and it's nice to see them, like, explore this kind of space by using that, you know, if it's cast, because then they can kind of... I think they can kind of push it a little bit more without totally breaking it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, we're just talking about white's card draw and, you know, like, this type of effect we've seen with white for years and years and years. And, you know, this is sort of, just to play devil's advocate, this isn't card draw, but this is a very common form of white's card advantage technique. So, you know, if you're ever feeling bad about not being able to draw cards, just, you know, get play a little more Revelark. You're going to feel better.
Revelarks are rare, right?
I believe so, yeah. And Vesperlark is a lot like Revelark, another fantastic card in any kind of Arcades deck or creatures with low power.
But yeah, this is Mythic, and that's rare. So, yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. Vanquish the Horde is next. It's 6 white-white for a sorcery. This spell costs 1 less to cast for each creature on the battlefield, and you get to destroy all creatures.
Boom.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
This is Wrath.
2 mana Wrath.
Very good. A lot of the time, yeah. It's like a Blasphemous Act in white.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, really good.
Boat.
Play it.
Boat time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, with the caveat that this is definitely going to be a Commander staple, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's what we're talking about here. I don't know. Standard might be a little bit of a different story. I feel like a 4 mana Wrath is probably a safer bet, or even something like what's that one from Call Time that you can foretell and pay for 3 mana?
Doomscar
or something.
Yeah. Doomscar. Yeah, that's the one. I think that one's probably a more reliable bet.
Definitely.
Just because, like, on those earlier turns of the game, if you're looking to get just a simple 2 or 3 for 1, you can shoot it off at that point. But I think that's not necessarily going to be the play pattern for Vanquish the Horde in, like, a 1v1. But in Commander, it's going to be just, easy 2 mana, destroy the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, again, like, I don't know how much I want to play this in Standard at all, really.
Yeah.
Hey, moving on to... Our first blue card is Consider. It's 1 blue for an instant. Look at the top card of your library. You may put that card into your graveyard. Draw a card.
Super reminiscent of what Opt does. Opt mm-hmm. is like scry one, draw a card. This is basically surveil one and then draw a card.
Yeah, and in some decks, that's makes it a better card.
Yeah. Oh, this is a better card. Way better. Surveil, I think Surveil in the majority of cases, like, unless you care about the bottom of your library, Surveil is going to be a stronger mechanic.
Yeah, I guess it depends how, you know, because if you're just drawing cards, then do you want any of them in your graveyard or do you want them on the bottom of your deck?
Right. I want all of them in my graveyard.
Yeah, but some decks...
Every time.
Some decks don't.
Sometimes you have that, like, combo piece that you only have, like, 1 or 2 cards in the deck and you're like, oh, shit. I don't want that in the graveyard.
Well, then you should build your deck in a way that you want it in the graveyard.
No, I'm talking about like 60 card constructed, like standard. There are times when like just how the deck is made, you're only going to want a certain card, like 1 or 2 of's in the deck.
Yeah, you don't need it. You're good.
Curse of Surveillance is next. It's 4 and a blue for an enchantment curse. It enchants a player, and at the beginning of enchanted player's upkeep, any number of target players other than that player each draw cards equal to the number of curses attached to that player. Well, this certainly puts a curse target on somebody's back in a game of Commander.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice little political touch with like the any number target players. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and easy to cast in your 5-color curse tribal decks.
Yeah. Or if you have like a Bant Enchantress deck that you're jamming.
Fading Hope is next. It's 1 blue for an instant. Return target creature to its owner's hand. If its mana value was 3 or less, scry 1. So this is just a better unsummon. Yeah.
It hits no matter what.
Yep.
And then if it's like 3 or less, you get to scry 1. So it's like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
value.
Very good card.
It's got like Vapor Snag feels, except scry 1 instead of lose a life.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'll be swapping unsummon out of all my decks for this. If I had it any decks. I don't think I do. But anyways. Lear, Disciple of the Drowned is next. It's 3 blue-blue for a 3/4 legendary human wizard. Spells can't be countered, and each instant and sorcery card in your graveyard has flashback. The flashback cost is equal to that card's mana cost. I thought of you when I saw this card spoiled, Eric.
Yeah, this swing, home run. This is the card.
Yeah, that's great.
The set is good.
It's like a thick Snapcaster Mage.
Heck yeah, yeah. Yeah, I absolutely love this card. Obviously, giving everything flashback is really good. In Commander, especially, if you are doing some sort of spell slinger deck, this also makes sure that you can just go off because spells can't be countered.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. This is just so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So powerful.
Yeah, this is going to create some long-ass Commander turns.
That's what I like.
this is going to go in Riley's current Commander League deck.
I don't know. I think I'm really worried about the density of spells in that deck, and I'm already running a Pass in Flames. So,
like, oh, okay.
I don't know. I think this would be fun as like the head of a mono blue storm deck, like High Tide deck. Mm-hmm. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would definitely play that.
Okay, another transform card next. We have Malevolent Hermit on the front side. It's 1 and a blue for a 2/1 human wizard, and you can pay a blue to sacrifice it to counter target non-creature spell unless its controller pays 3. And it has Disturb for 2 and a blue. So when transformed, it's Benevolent Geist. It's a 2/2 spirit wizard with flying. Non-creature spells you control can't be countered. And if Benevolent Geist would be put into a graveyard from anywhere, exile it instead.
Cool card.
Yeah, the nice little, like, daring. It's got some Daring Apprentice feels. But it's obviously has a lot more playability than that Mirage card. I don't know why I'm mentioning that card. It's, like, super fucking old and bad. It's like 1 blue-blue for a 1/1 that has, like, tap, sacrifice, counter target spell. Anyways.
Yeah, it's kind of like Voidmade Prodigy.
Yes.
Except, yeah, I think Voidmade Prodigy just counters a spell,
yeah,
and just straight up counters it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good card.
But the Disturb, like, I actually really like that flip side where you're basically protecting your non-creature spells.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a card. I think if I was, honestly, between Leer and Malevolent Hermit, I actually think I might run Malevolent Hermit to protect my combo versus Leer.
Yeah, I mean, like, this one is cheaper on the mana cost for you, so.
And you can consider it into your graveyard.
Yeah. Consider, yeah. But yeah, totally. If you mill over this in any way, it's just like you can still get it back. So you don't need to worry about having it in your hand like you do with Leer, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you just go off.
But also in a like 1v1 situation, like in Standard, I actually find this card kind of fun because as like a control player, they would have it on the battlefield and you maybe being aggressive or something, you have to like really try and bait out when they kind of use this card or not and stuff like that. So I kind of like that kind of like back and forth of making control players like use up their counters and stuff on your spells.
Yeah.
Next up, we have a Memory Deluge. It's 2 blue-blue for an instant. Look at the top X cards of your library, where X is the amount of mana spent to cast this spell. Put 2 of them into your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. And it has flashback for 5 blue-blue.
Yeah. I think this card's super good. Like, it has a lot of value to it. Yeah. Like, sure, Factor Fiction is 5 cards, but then, like, this is just we get to pick what cards we want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, you get like the best 2-card pile.
Yeah.
Right.
And then later you're like dig through time. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty big game. I think exactly that. Like, if you're looking for a strong like value spell that you're going to play in like a fair kind of like mid-rangey or control deck, like this is what you're looking for. Having flashback on it is huge, especially if you have a way of getting it into your graveyard just straight up in the first place, which there are a few ways since it has flashback. But I was looking at this and I was thinking about my Commander League deck, right? I'm running the Prismari Performance deck and it likes to storm off. It likes to cast things like Mind's Desire and cast things for free. And if you cast this thing for free, you're looking at 0. So that's something to watch out for. So be careful, like, if you are running like a storm combo deck and you happen to have effects that cast things for free, this is not going to be the card that you're looking for.
yeah,
that's rough. Look at 0 cards. Sweet.
Yeah. Put 2 of 0 cards into your hand.
Phantom Carriage is next. It's 4 blue-blue for a 4/4 spirit with flying. And whenever it enters the battlefield, you may search your library for a card with flashback or disturb. put it into your graveyard, then shuffle.
This card's a house in limited, at least. I would, you know, there's one other effect I can think of. I can't remember the name, but I think it's a 2-mana sorcery that puts 3 cards with flashback from your library into your graveyard.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
And it's got that kind of vibe for me. But the fact that it hits Disturb is pretty cool. But just like I'm thinking in like a blank deck, it's a 4/4 flyer at worst. Like it might be just a fun way of being like a tutor for flashback cards that you care about, and curves really well into Memory Deluge.
Sure does.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it does.
Poppet Stitcher is next. It's another transform card. It's 2 and a blue for a 2/3 human wizard. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, create a 2/2 black zombie creature token with decayed. This is our first mention of this new mechanic. So the token can't block, and when it attacks, you sacrifice it at the end of combat. And at the beginning of your upkeep, if you control 3 or more creature tokens, you may transform Poppet Stitcher. Flip side is Poppet Factory. It's an artifact. Creature tokens you control lose all abilities and have base power and toughness 3/3. And at the beginning of your upkeep, you may transform Poppet Factory.
They're so cute.
Yeah. Yeah. This reminded me right away of, wow, my brain is really bad today.
like a young pyromancer kind of effect?
I want to keep saying Monastery Swift Spear.
Jeez. Monastery Mentor.
There we go. Yeah. So they both cost 3. They're both making tokens and stuff like that. Obviously, what's really interesting about Poppet Stitcher is like if you're in like an Izzet deck and you have like Young Pyromancer, at one point, if you transform the Poppet Stitcher, like those 1/1s turned into 3/3s, which is pretty good value.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, its own 2/2s turn into 3/3s as well. But
yeah,
it's kind of an interesting card.
And lose the decayed ability, which is nice.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you just get 3/3s that can jam.
Spectral Adversary is next. It's 1 and a blue for a 2/1 spirit. It has flash and flying, and when it enters the battlefield, you may pay 1 and a blue any number of times. When you pay this cost 1 or more times, put that many +1/+1 counters on Spectral Adversary. Then, up to that many other target artifacts, creatures, and or enchantments phase out.
I can just see this as a really nice finisher for like a spirits deck, because at their end step, you can just whatever blockers they have, basically just phase them out.
Yeah, and just go for the Alpha Strike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it has some flexibility. Like, you could phase your own stuff out if it's being targeted, or if there's a Wrath coming and you have a key piece that you really want to protect. Or you could, like, phase out one of their attackers that's swinging in for lethal, you know? So I don't think this is going to be the difference between you winning and losing the game by any means, but I don't know. Might be an interesting card. A little bit of utility.
Suspicious Stowaway is next. It's 1 and a blue for a 1/1 human rogue werewolf. It can't be blocked, and when it deals combat damage to a player, draw a card, then discard a card, and it has Daybound. So the flip side is Seafaring Werewolf. It's a 2/1 werewolf. It also can't be blocked, and when it deals combat damage to a player, just draw a card, no downside. And of course it has Nightbound. I wouldn't want a werewolf in my pirate ship, that's for sure.
Where'd this werewolf come from?
Oh no.
He's like, oh no, my beer.
let's get this werewolf drunk.
So one thing I want to point out right off the bat is for commander players in the room, this card's its color identity is blue and green. So if you're trying to jam that in your Grixis deck, that's a big no-no. definitely something that, you know, I was looking at this, I was like, oh, this is a perfect like looting ability for my Obeka Reanimator deck. I'm like, yeah, hell yeah. And then I'm like, ah, oh, no.
No.
And it's funny that like in like a Reanimator deck like that where you want to get that looting effect, it's like the green side is actually worse.
yeah.
But super cool.
It's like, I'll play the card. I'll never transform it. So it's just blue. Okay, guys.
Yeah. I mean, you're playing Commander. You're likely not going to see a card transform.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's too, I mean, I like the fact that it can't be blocked and it's a 1/1, but it's a little too expensive to go in Edric.
Is it?
One in a blue? Yeah, that's too expensive.
Really?
Yeah, that's dude. The benchmark is a single mana. Okay, anything more? There's enough of a bench now of a single blue cards with evasive abilities that you don't need to be spending that one extra mana. You don't, you know, you got to be efficient. Come on.
That's fair.
And I believe our last blue card is Trichodecaphile. And it's one in a blue for a 1/3 human wizard. You have no maximum hand size, and at the beginning of your upkeep, if you have exactly 13 cards in your hand, you win the game. And you can pay 3 in a blue to draw a card. So if you have the mana, you can just... Oh, it's at the beginning of your upkeep. Never mind. It should be end step. I think that's the problem I have with a lot of these cards. It's like it's a lot of upkeep triggers, and it's like, you know, I often think about things in terms of commander, so it's like... Oh, I gotta wait till my upkeep? Come on.
Yeah, it's also, it's a you win the game.
Yeah, it's a you win the game card.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty fun, like, little sub game you got going there. So, I think that would be a fun build around.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and, like, blue also has, like, blue's obviously, you have a bunch of, like, X draw spells, so this is pretty easy to get off.
Sure. And, you know, there are ways to get it in on the end step before you turn, so it's not a big deal. Definitely do it.
I like how they're doing this with, like, because, like, last Innistrad we had the Trichodecaphilia.
Was that what it was? I thought it was the...
Trichodecaphobia.
I like Trichodecaphilia better. It goes really well with the Trichodecaphile.
Yeah. No, it's the phobia one. My bad.
Yeah,
oh,
okay. Yeah, the fear of 13, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, with that, we are going to bring this installment of our set review to a close. Let me just cut that noise out, please, Ainsley. We'll be back next week to talk about some of the black and red cards from the set. But until then, thank you for listening, and take it easy out there and make funny noises while you're at it.
That's always fun.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
See ya.
Rear.